thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Inspector of Hayes, Justin Tyler, and Alex Fowler.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Comic Book Club, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
That's your Bat of the Booth, Booth Band. So, guys, exciting night tonight. Very big show tonight. Very cool.
Yeah.
Big event happening this weekend, New York Anime Fest.
Oh, yeah.
You guys so excited about that?
Oh, I'm going to stay home and watch a bunch of tentacle porn and the whole
No, you've got to go watch it at the festival.
No, that's how I celebrate every weekend the festival in my apartment for anime.
All right. Well, okay, not much of an anime fest. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to go there and just enjoy it.
You're gonna get arrested.
Pete, what's your favorite anime?
Samurai something?
That's a really good one. All right, you got me. Guys, we have a very exciting show for you. I'm very excited about the guests we have here. We're excited to welcome them back. Ladies and gentlemen, David Geller and Steve Ellis!
That was the highest energy opening we've had since Jim Starlin was on the show.
Yeah, man.
Did he run around and scream too?
He did cartwheels.
He was all coked up. Classic Starlin.
Here's the thing, so am I.
Yeah, no. No, I know.
Guys, thank you so much for coming back to the show. We're very excited to have you here. This is obviously a bit of a big month, the next month or so for you guys. Yeah. First of all, this is coming out. About this. Obviously, this is a collection of the stuff that you published on Zuda.
Congratulations.
There you go. I summed it up. What's different for you? You know, this is kind of an obvious question, but what's different for you publishing this in print versus having it?
How did you get so many tiny computer screens together sewn up like this?
Nanites. It's all nanites.
Cool, man.
That's your explanation for everything.
Yeah.
Actually, nanites draw it when Steve's sleeping.
I don't actually draw
it. Weird. Cool.
No, it's a High Moon trade paperback collects the first three seasons of High Moon that you can read on ZudaComics.com. It's 180, I think the book's 192 pages. There's some...
Check it out.
They're not numbered, so...
we'll get back to you.
I'll be with you in a moment.
Did you find when you were putting together a book, was there anything different in terms of the pacing of the story online versus print?
No, I think that...
Three? Four?
Bravo, Justin. When we launched High Moon and through its implementation, we... made sure that every fourth page was like a really cool cliffhanger page. Mm-hmm. And so when we laid out the book, we laid it out so that everything you read was delivered at the same pace you read it online.
Right.
So you're like, oh, fourth page. Oh, yeah, really cool cliffhanger. So, you know, all the cliffhangers fall where they should fall. And yeah, I think the reading experience may be on par or slightly better.
Wow.
I'm actually going to say I liked it better. Looking at it,
really?
Because, well, simply because, well, A, you're flipping it, right? And as you're reading it, yeah,
paper's
nice.
I tried that actually when I was reading it online.
But
what
I found was that the transitions were, like, from page to page, were more interesting. Like, they led from sometimes, like, across the page, like, in a different way. When you turn the page, it feels more, somehow, like, satisfying in a different way than clicking a button. And I was like, oh, wow, that's nice, you know? Plus, put down the whole digital thing. It was just more like, wow, like there's a different experience having it in your hand. It's like a different. You know.
Plus, what I really like about the book is that it's got a black trim. The page sits nicely recessed within this black page, so it gives you that really nice wide screen. Like, oh wow, I'm almost like watching this in like the movie in my brain kind of phenomenon. Which is kind of cool.
Now, I want to briefly talk about, you have a kind of what I might call a breakout character in the third part.
Oh, jeez.
No, there's a real character, that really pops, has a really good first name, the villain. I think the first really significant villain of the series, his name's Alexander.
Right. Yes, Alexander Prescott, yes, sir.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Huh. Obviously named after you or any other Alexander.
Well, you were saying before that in the upcoming part to tease, which was very nice of you.
You know, we have Justin. We have a character called Tyler in our upcoming season
obviously
4.
For me.
And then Inspector LePage.
Yeah!
Named after another LePage.
From now on, I will be known as Inspector LePage.
Yeah. Clueless detective. So he's a villain, has sex with a girl.
Yeah, sex with
and
like
he's
a
like
a,
an inspector that finds clues. What do I do?
Die violently.
Yeah. Die violently.
Yeah!
Now that's
greatest comic ever made!
That's two presents for
peace. Characters die violently.
Before he dies violently, he gets to do some cool stuff.
No, this time every character dies violently.
Well, yeah, they do, but before he dies violently, he gets cool stuff.
And he's a butler, right? So is it like serve like a crazy soda?
Yeah, he actually. It's like scones. It's England. So.
Oh, that's too cool. You get to serve. I've always wanted to serve a scone.
That's just scone serving. It's the best scone serving we have in all of High Moon Season.
He gets to push a wheelchair.
Yeah,
wow, that's great. Bravo. What a debut.
Well, that's very exciting. Thank you very much. When does the book come out?
Book comes out a week from Wednesday.
Yeah.
A week from tomorrow.
September 30th.
And you can pre-order it on Amazon and everything.
Yeah, you can pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also go to your local area comic book store and pick it up. And it's a perfect gift for Halloween.
I haven't done any of my Halloween shopping.
If
you buy enough, you can give them out.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, better for your cheaters coming to your door.
I'm going to do that, but I'm going to put a razor blade.
I knew that was true. When does the Justin Tyler season start on the...
the Justin Tyler...
Butler season.
Yeah, Butler season starts October 3rd, which is... a week from Saturday, actually, on the full moon.
Yeah, big stuff.
This is like your Are You Being Served?
Yeah.
And it takes place in London.
Cool. That's what I can
make. So, Greg, talk about the other things that you guys are working on. One other thing you're working on is Box 13.
Yes.
Which is
obviously
another entirely different format. Want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
You want to talk about it?
You can talk about it.
Oh no, I think you should.
I'll
talk
about it.
Box 13 is actually a it's an iPhone comic. It's gonna be it's made explicitly for the formatting of the iPhone. So when we're doing it, it's going to be
what? Squeaky mouse out there.
It's gonna be through Comixology, and the concept of the story is I'll leave that to you because
it's
a pitch thing.
Basically, it's a neo-noir story about searching for your identity. It's a story about a writer who discovers that his identity is in a series of 13 boxes. And as he unlocks each box, it means a greater mystery.
How did they get in the box?
I don't know. You'll have to read it.
It's a trick.
It's not that hard to unlock a box, though. You know, you can just cut it open.
Some boxes are
cut it open.
Right? Cardboard box? That's what we're talking about?
Have you seen Hellraiser? Like puzzle boxes?
Yeah, really?
Shoe boxes. I know that's what
we're thinking. Yeah, right. She did, but what happened after she opened it?
Ooh.
I don't know. I've never seen Hellraiser.
Oh, you've never seen Hellraiser. Okay.
What was in there?
I watched the first 10
totally
minutes,
lost
and there was a lot of bugs. It was gross.
That guy's very unappealing, that Hellraiser.
So,
it
launches October.
Pinhead.
It launches October 13th through the Comix app. Through Comixology.
So you have to have an iPhone, basically.
Yeah.
Actually,
you can download it for iTunes as well.
They're working on a web version as well.
Right.
Great, cool.
So it will be accessible other ways.
That doesn't help Pete, but...
Yeah.
Pete doesn't use the interweb.
Yeah.
I have a box at home.
He has a speaker.
Is it a Commodore 64, or is it like a...
literally a box.
Yeah. It's a tricked out speak and spell. He's good. It's really real E.T. shit he's doing at home.
And last but not least, this was announced last week, I believe, late last week, was you guys are writing a Hulk one-shot, Hulk Winter Guard, right?
Yes. Well,
nice.
Yes. Cool.
It's very exciting because I love Russian characters. And Steve over here used to draw the Crimson Dynamo for Marvel years ago, so it's sort of like a return home for him.
It's kind of cool. That's really exciting.
And you lived in Russia.
I used to live in Russia, so it kind of has a lot of homecoming things.
So yeah, it's the story of.
So you got like a lot of like street names and details in there.
Not really. I was surprised, actually.
I just want to make sure, because we're big fans of streets.
Yeah. In Russia.
In Russia.
And street names.
No, it's...
Well, you like maps a lot.
Yeah, I do like maps. Yeah.
There are no maps.
It's actually kind of funny. Like, you know, I was looking at the script. I'm like, yeah, does this really feel like it's in Russia? And I'm reading the script and working on the pictures. I'm like, well, except for like one scene, it could be, you know, anywhere in the movie universe. But
so wait,
not
me
really. I mean, it's got like a lot
no
of
maps,
you know,
no
maps,
no street names.
Yeah,
we're
not
questioning.
Just for you, I'm thinking about changing the layout so that there's one page street sign map.
Tyler Russia.
Statue.
Oh, good.
Tyler Russia.
It's a street, yeah.
You didn't have a town.
You were about to tell us what the issue is about.
Yeah.
it's about four superheroes in Russia, Red Guardian, Ursa Major, Dark Star, and the Crimson Dynamo. And they're sort of, essentially the concept of the team is that they're all red shirts. They're all immediately replaceable. At any point, they can die, and somebody will just be like, oh, Red Guardian died, so let's call up a new one. So it creates a very interesting sort of team dynamic of, you know, where the hero themselves may be disposable, but the heroism is eternal because they're, you know, it's they're part of this iconic, like, heroic
lineage.
Legacy.
Yeah, legacy.
Yeah, so it's... not like the Avengers, where you're like, oh, look, we just got Rage on our team, or Triathlon on our team, or Deathcrow. No, it's...
the most famous Avenger.
Wow, yeah, you just named, like,
three really obscure Avengers.
My
right.
favorite Avenger.
Yeah.
Right.
Rage has always been a favorite Avenger.
But it's the idea is that the heroic legacy and heroic tradition of these four characters is kept alive, and they're not filling their ranks with, like, bit players. It's like, you know, the story of the four... mighty heroes of glorious Russia.
Well, it's like halfway through this show, we replaced Pete. There used to be another Pete.
Yeah, but it's
but he looks so much like the
exactly.
last.
Exactly.
Well, it's his heroic legacy.
Yeah, it lives on. His anger.
Well, it's one of the favorite things. If you go through the comics and you look at like Red Guardian throughout the comics over, you know, when we're doing a research, we're looking at one comic he's named Anton, the next comic he's named Oleg, and the next comic he's Ivan. So it's like,
wow.
Well, is it not the same guy then?
Right. There's,
so it made us think, well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's.
There have been
know,
like 8 Red Guardians. There have been 14 Crimson Dynamos.
Wow.
There have been. 2 Dark Stars. So far, only 1 Ursa Major, but that may change. So it's really sort of a chance to sort of consolidate all this different Rush, all these different aspects of Russian super soldiers in Marvel Comics. Consolidate that and create a foundation to build better stories.
I was a big fan of the 7th Crimson Dynamo. He
was
the one that really got.
Yeah, he really
popped. Dimitri, right? Yeah, Dimitri, yeah. Real red armor. Real red.
Crimson Dynamo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Gennady was the 8th one that you just
wow.
Just last question before we move on with the show. At what point does one of the characters say, what a country?
At no point.
What a
all right, so
in
no
Russia,
maps,
the comic
no street signs, and no Yakov Smirnoff jokes. I don't know why.
We have a giant dude who transforms into an even gianter bear.
That's pretty cool.
Huh.
In Russia, bread lines are so long.
Yeah. This thing is free.
In Soviet Russia, hero is you.
Guys, let's move on to the next section, which we like to call the stack.
Show.
By the way, now you know you need to end every section with a spit take.
Yeah.
First thing we're going to talk about is Blackest Night number 3. Please come in and sit down wherever.
Yeah.
Blackest
Night
number
3.
It's in a bag. What did you guys think about this issue? Continuing the saga of dead people eating other dead people.
Well, yeah, it's more dead people coming to life and then eating living people's hearts. So it's more of that. But then you have a one-page spread where they give a monologue saying, I'm a unique color and I'm here to save the entire race. Don't worry about it. I got this.
There was, we taped a web show as well. And we did, we did a review of this issue on there. And there was a huge fur. Like, literally 2 people wrote us to complain about my rant about Black Snake, which I'll kind of repeat a little bit of my problems for you guys.
To be fair, that's 50% of our audience. So
we get 4 views per episode. Yeah. It's pretty spectacular. I thought this was a bad issue, which makes me feel bad a little bit, because I love Geoff Johns, love Ivan Reis, really want to like this event a lot. But there's parts of this issue that I found awful. The first half of the issue is a little action-y, and that's fine. Second half of the issue, it backs up against the wall. Heroes backs up against the wall. They're being attacked by a zombie JLA. And suddenly, the Indigo Tribe, these purple guys, jump in, Deus Ex Machina, save the day. And then the heroes are like, oh my god, what's going on here? And the Indigo Tribe is like, well, we'll tell you. Bum, 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 bum. And then proceed to go into
a musical? I was playing the drums. I was playing the drums back while you were reading.
All right, I mistook that for something that actually happened. They proceed to spend pages and pages and pages of nothing but talking heads explaining exactly what's going on in the comic book.
Right.
The other unfortunate part of that, and actually this is something I wanted to talk to you guys about.
Oh, yeah.
Is that all right?
This is a real rant.
Yeah, sure is. It's very predictable what happens. Everybody has been saying since the beginning, okay, you have these different colors of light. They need to fight the black light that is illuminating the stain of humanity on the universe, one might say.
Yeah, true. What's the speed of darkness?
Is it like one of those black lights that shows you the stains on the sheets in the hotel?
That's what I was getting at.
Don't ever do that.
Oh, it's like luminal.
My point, though, is that they find that the way to beat them is all the lights need to combine together to form a white light. A spoiler. But that's what everybody has been saying since the beginning.
Great spoiler.
I thought they were going to form a rainbow Green Lantern. Like they have all the colors, kind of like the leprechaun.
Or here's the thing.
Or the shirt tails.
Definitely. It'll be a shirt tails reference. The thing is, that's probably going to happen. I bet you anything.
Yeah.
Well, Hal's going to have all
of those. Did you say shirt tails?
I don't know what shirt tails.
No, he didn't.
I did. Oh, wow. That's really
deep breath.
Obscure.
Deep breath.
That's obscure? You've just been naming names that, like...
Well, what do you guys say? Here's my question for you guys, is since everybody before the series starts said, oh, well, what Hal Jordan's going to need to do is combine all the light together into a white light to be the black light.
You know, that's true. A white light has all colors in it.
I know. And in this issue, it's revealed that what Hal Jordan is going to need to do is combine all the white colors together in a white light to meet the black light. Does that take away from the book?
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely overly predictable.
Also, Hal Jordan takes away from the book.
Oh, here we go. Oh. This is the guy that hates Spider-Man, though. Remember?
Yes, it's
great.
Yes.
I will say this. I think
when you're
there's
ready.
Way too much talking and not enough zombie fighting.
And you got all those zombies.
Well, are you talking about the show?
Yeah, you're talking about this show? That's all we do is
we've had basically zero zombies.
Zombie free since like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I agree with you that it's kind of a bummer issue, but he had to have this issue where like it gets the plot out there, you know?
Well, what did you think about...
hated it. I know what you're going to say. The end, when they kill, in a terrible, like, sort of rapey way, half of Firestorm, the tail.
Yeah, Firestorm, for those of you who don't know, takes two people to combine together to make the hero. It has been this guy, Jason, right?
Yep.
Jason Ruth.
Who's a great character, really fun series, combined with his girlfriend, Jen, who's a very naive, kind of innocent character. Beginning of the comic book, they have this page where she's like, listen, why won't you commit to me in a relationship? And you're reading that, and you're like, okay, well, she's going to die by the end of the issue, because that's just what happens, I guess.
That's why I've never been
warning to all women out there. Yeah.
Right.
Don't ask for commitment.
Yeah, just quick question. Is my wife here tonight? She's dead. My point is, at the end of the issue, Jen gets killed in front of Jason in this way where she's screaming and crying, and it's just, it's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's completely unnecessary to the point where it's offensive.
That was a little extreme, but I don't know, it didn't bother me much. It was sort of obvious that it was going to be the light thing, where they all come together,
Not to get in as much detail as you guys, I just...
For God's sakes, man.
I just hated the fact that it was like, again, okay, people come... It's the same thing in the beginning, then a huge monologue, and then nothing happened. So that's why I thought it sucked.
It sucked. The raping death.
Yeah, that's what put me on.
Yeah. Anyway, not a very
I'll
good
watch, issue. If I want to see that, I'll watch Law & Order SVU.
Exactly. For zombies, will you also watch?
No, I'm going to wait till next week when you have to kill your zombie wife on the show.
That's pretty fun. Stay tuned, people. Let's move on and talk about Archie number 601.
Hey, this is an important.
Yeah, it is. Archie finally marries Veronica. And does he, ever?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yes. What do you guys think about this issue?
I'll tell you what. After they're married and they're on their honeymoon, the door closes and a bunch of hearts appear. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, I've never had sex. That's it.
Yeah.
I assume when you do, hearts come out.
What's really unfortunate is that Betty did not also go back into the room and her hearts appear.
Oh, nice.
Because that would have been a really nice honeymoon for Archie.
My biggest problem is there's this guy that shows up with Betty and
Henry.
Henry. And he seems like exactly like Archie, but no freckles and no cross-hatched hair. Yeah. It seems like a perfectly nice guy, and everybody's like, oh man, he's just trying to be like Archie. Except Archie's a self-centered asshole.
Whoa.
Archie's no Peter Parker.
I mean, I'm not going to agree with you.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to crosshatch your hair? I try to do that almost every morning.
My biggest problem is the fact that we're talking about Archie on our show.
Okay.
Oh, it's actually a really good...
That's right.
It's a really good issue.
I don't know.
Really good?
For Archie. Okay, sure.
It's an enjoyable issue of Archie.
The jokes in there are pretty terrible.
It's an enjoyable issue of Archie's.
There's the hearts. Those are hump hearts.
Yeah, at a certain point when you're on the hearts.
It's not Watchmen of Archie. It's
Well, the next issue is when Betty's going to kill herself, and I'm looking forward to that to see the dark side
of it. Yeah, that should be great. Actually, a quick other thing to talk about. Archie recently signed with Creative Artists Agency. This is actually not a joke at all as of today. So the talk is that there's going to be all these big budget Archie movies.
That'd be awesome.
Would it?
What would happen in that? What's the whole
point? Do you remember they did that TV movie where it was like all adult and sexy?
I don't. The whole point of Archie is that nothing happens.
Imagine Archie on the CW following Gossip Girl.
I think it would pale in comparison.
I think you got the same audience though as Gossip Girl, really.
I think so too.
You're insulting.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
It's Archie. He can't be on TV. No way.
I think Archie is one of those stables, like Peanuts or Nancy or whatever. That I think that there's definitely an audience for. I mean, there's a reason that it sells so well in the supermarket because it's a.
Well, but I think Archie is something that is essentially to its medium. Like, same thing with Peanuts. Well, that's actually not accurate at all.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, it's...
Nobody
it's,
likes the Peanuts TV specials, right?
Yeah. The live-action...
Whoa. In the 60s, when Archie had its own show and its own pop song, Sugar Sugar...
That's right.
I mean, obviously...
Howard Network, who wrote that song? He's fake. They play that at their wedding in this. I was like, what's the deal? Did he write that song in the comic? How is it real?
Here's my question.
Sugar.
Wasn't it obvious he was always going to go for Veronica with all the money? I mean, she's rich.
Yeah, but I think it's everybody kind of hoped he would go see Betty, right?
He's a money grubber, though. I mean, really.
Betty, I think, belongs to Jess
Cruz the whole thing.
No, shut up. Jughead is going to be Archie's butler. So.
Let's move on.
Jughead is going to marry a hamburger.
Wicked.
Oh, that was a real moose slab. Yeah. All right, now let's move on. Talk about Vengeance of the Moon Knight, number one. You guys, the Moon Knight is back, and he wants vengeance.
I know, he's like, why doesn't anyone read me? I'm a hero. I'm Marvel's Batman. Don't you see? Read me.
Yeah, that's true. That's the exact same cover, isn't it?
And it's Batman.
Yes. Yeah, it's literally the same thing.
Why read Moon Knight when you can play Arkham Asylum?
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons actually is the art, which is pretty spectacular in here. And especially for the first half of the issue, which plays out like a big budget This never happened. But a big budget Moon Knight movie. By which I mean $20 to $30.
Green light. Yeah.
We're gonna give you as many pieces of pizza as you want. Yeah. No Moon Knight. First half of the issue.
You need someone to negotiate for you.
My manager. My manager gets paid 10% of my pizza.
Your manager's Jughead.
What do you guys think about this issue?
Yeah. Oh, nice. I actually liked it, except for the end. It's really well done. The art's very good, like you said. But the end, the Sentry shows up, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing that happened in the first issue of Avengers Punisher, where it's again. It's almost exactly the same issue in a certain way, because both of them were gritty street-level superheroes on the run, repulsively going through an action scene. End of the action scene is Sentry comes down, and you're like, oh shit, it's the Sentry. What's going to happen? And what's going to happen is the Moon Knight's going to use some sort of trick thing to get the Sentry and get away.
Wouldn't it be great if the Sentry...
Otherwise the Sentry would be like...
Pfft. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if that happened, the next issue was one page long, and there's him being like... later, gotta go back to do shit.
The next issue is called Vengeance of a Fine White Powder.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, white powder.
Okay, I will say this. I really liked Moon Knight when he first appeared as a werewolf hunter in Werewolf by Night number 32.
Wow. Someone just muttered. Someone's like, that guy's a real dork.
All right, we're going to move on and talk about Brave and the Bold, number 27. This is kicking off J. Michael Straczynski's run on the title. Pete, I assume you're clapping for some other comic we're talking about in the stack.
Yeah, why would you like this? This is a DC comic book.
What? Why can't we like DC comic
books? You don't. You.
That's not true.
Okay.
You like Ty Moon.
That's a DC comic. Thank you.
Pete, what did you like about this?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a cool... use of the dial.
Yeah, I love phone-based heroes.
Yeah! Oh, come on!
Because I love... you love that.
You fell for it, too.
Huh? I know, I was... yeah, I don't know. The heroes, the dial, what dilates for hero, like, I like the idea, like, the hero's always switching who can be him, but the phone base is so stupid. It's
would
like,
you prefer it was text H for hero?
Yeah. At least update. Yeah, forgot.
But no, I think this is a cool story, and normally when there's a hero at the end who, like, explains a lesson or whatever, it can get kind of lame, but I thought
and
it was
real. Here.
No, yeah. It was well done.
I don't know. I didn't like Batman sort of shows up and is like, typical boring Batman where he's like... really angry, and he's like, what are you doing in my city?
That's just Batman. That's not, like, boring.
No,
no, but it's every time Batman appears in another comic book, he's like, with a new hero, he's like, I don't like you, but I like you.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to
stay out of my city.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I should have
done. Yeah.
Batman's always doing the psych move. It's ridiculous.
What would have made this better if it was, like, Batman and Ben 10?
Yeah. This is a fine issue. I just don't understand.
Yeah, I thought it was a great issue.
Why?
Because I thought it was a cool idea. It was a nice use of, like, I don't want to say throwaway character, but, like, it kind of had a good story.
I think the phone character is a bit of a throwaway.
Well, it was a good story, and I thought it worked well here.
It's okay.
I think they phoned it. Oh, sorry.
Let's move on. Talk about the one shot MODOK Rain Delay.
Get it? Rain Delay?
What?
Huh?
This is by Ryan Dunleavy, who's one half of the excellent team that created Action Philosophers and Comic Book Comics. This is about MODOK doesn't get asked to be part of Norman Osborn's villainous cabal as part of Dark Reign. Instead, he goes home to Erie, Pennsylvania to his high school reunion. And I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really enjoyable.
The first page is definitely the best. It's where MODOK is leaving a series of awkward phone messages on Norman Osborn's answer machine.
I don't see why this is so funny. This is the struggle of a person, you know, trying not to be so awkward in who he is. And
oh, you really identified with MODOK.
Bullies are still... He goes back and he's, you know, he's a freaking supervillain. He's still getting swirlies.
It's
when does he get his? When does MODOK get his?
How many swirlies did you get?
That really struck funny.
Yeah, sorry.
That's
gonna,
my point. It's
I'm
not
give
funny.
You a swirly after the show.
Yeah, right.
Did you actually get swirlies?
I've never heard or seen one.
I, my entire high school career, nothing like that ever happened to me. So the last day of school, I stuffed myself in a locker. Just this is my story.
You did?
Yeah.
Why?
Just to see what it felt.
Real class clown over here, huh?
I sure was.
That's like the Dos Equis commercial. He's like, he had a thug just to see what it would feel like. Never mind.
I don't even remotely know what you're talking about right now. Yeah. This is a fun issue. I would say pick it up.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. As it goes on, it gets a little kind of tired, but the first page is pretty funny. Yeah.
Next, let's talk about Lone Ranger number 18.
Yeah.
Damn it!
One of these days.
I want to say, actually, I loved this issue. I thought this was great. I have no investment whatsoever in the character of Lone Ranger. I've been so-so in a lot of the stuff that Dynamite's been doing, from Zorro to Man With No Name and whatever. This is amazing. This is an amazing, perfect issue and a great jumping on point. The art is spectacular. The coloring is great. The writing is sparse and tense in the right places.
That's sparse writing.
Yeah.
Just very like patchy.
Well, it is.
there's
words missing everywhere.
Yeah. Real shoddy is what I like about it.
Yeah.
The real spit take.
What did you guys think about this issue?
It was amazing. I'm glad you finally woke up to this title. It's been fantastic since it's.
Nah, I was always there. I've always been a big fan.
Yeah. Oh.
Have you?
you just started reading it.
Oh.
No, it's great. I love all their back issue stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, I have a bunch of independent comics.
Yeah. I picked up
old Ashcan version.
Yeah.
So
picked up the Lone Ranger Greatest Hits. Really cool.
Great stuff. I have the soundtrack.
I went to see them at MSG. Yeah, everybody was there. We were all screaming, waving our cell phones.
Yeah, waving the
Lone Ranger.
I was shooting my guns in the air.
I had the action, used to the action figure. And their old time radio programs. You know, it's all based on this comic.
Yeah. I don't know about
Lone
that.
Lone Ranger 18.
It's reversed.
Yeah, Lone Ranger 18 is where it all started. this is great. I would say
it's all good. It's great to see
and
Tonto.
The Zorro comic that Dynamite's doing is also amazing.
Yeah, yes.
We're not talking about that.
Alright, let's go on. Last but not least, we're going to talk about Beasts of Burden. This is by Evan Dorkin and Jill Thompson. It's about a bunch of pets in a small town that investigates supernatural mysteries.
Wait, sell it. Give the line that you...
This is, for some reason, this totally sold Pete on it. Because I was like, so Pete, we should read Beasts of Burden. And he was like, why should I read that? Do I really want to spend the time on that? And I was like, well, all the pets are magicians. And he was like, oh.
Pets are magicians.
I
love that world.
I had no idea that was your key.
Yeah, I know, it's a weird key, man. This is like an illustrated calendar with words on it, too.
What?
It's like a calendar a grandmother might have, all the pets running around.
You mean those posters that like has a kitten and it's just
there.
Hang in there.
Yeah, stuff like that. Except instead of saying, just hang in there, it's like, let's fucking kill this frog.
Which is my kind of calendar.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm getting
you
for Halloween.
You got a calendar with the cat on it that says, let's kill this motherfucking frog?
Yeah. Great.
That's August.
That calendar.
That's August. Yeah. The next one is, that frog is fucking dead.
It's a real story.
It's September.
Yeah, that's
September. Oh, man.
October.
Wow, you really nailed that next month.
Yeah, October.
Really, not to spoil anything for you guys, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah. I was talking to an editor at DC, and they told me that next month might be October.
Oh, jeez. Why you gotta reveal? At least
sorry,
say.
Guys. The big plans for DC, October's coming up.
That's why they became DC Entertainment, is to push forward the months faster. Get them out, get all the months out on time.
Month is competing with November coming out in 2 months.
Yeah, what do you have to look forward to? November's coming up. I don't know what's coming out when I'm doing after that.
Yeah, another Marvel, though, they're going to be like totally late on December.
Yeah. Classic Marvel.
It's going to be like December's going to come out in April.
Yeah.
It'll be worth the wait, though.
Yeah, it'll definitely worth the wait.
No, it'll be good. It'll look good when you collect the whole year.
Yeah.
And that's it for the stack! Guys, it is time for our our next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
So man, shy. I wish calendar jokes could have kept going.
Be here all night, guys. Be here all night.
I mean, if you want, we can
yeah.
be here all night. Okay, what?
What?
How's your pina colada?
Alcohol. What character or concept would you reboot if you could? I thought that said robot at first. And I...
No, actually, let's answer that. What character or concept would you be robot?
That's great.
Any thoughts?
Archie.
Robot Spider-Man.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I feel like that's been done.
Yeah,
after
yeah,
I think Robot Comic Book Club Live.
Wow.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Come on.
Error.
Clunky.
What would you want to see rebooted? What concept or idea would you like to see taken back to the beginning, completely redone?
Revitalized.
Yeah.
Rebooted.
You go first.
I'm trying to think because I know I have one and I just can't think of
it. I think it would be really nice to reboot in the New Warriors.
Yeah, good answer.
What would be the idea? What do you think?
I think I
newer.
Would.
Fresher.
The newer New Warriors. I think I'd make it more a team of criminals, criminal bootleggy, thuggy teens,
bootleggers.
1940.
Bootleg, like you know, like the thugs.
Yeah, there we go. See,
much random.
Sort of like the Warriors, the movie. Warriors come out and play, but they'd be like, you know,
superheroes.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'm really helping them out there, yeah.
We're working.
Really supportive. They get on a train and they try to go to Coney Island.
Yes! Steve?
I play this game all the time and I my brain is...
Right, we'll come back to you.
It's totally, yeah.
Justin?
I want to hear what they say.
Huh? I don't know. Well, I mean, they're going to do this anyway,
yeah,
but I want to see Aquaman come back. In a way that makes more sense than the last.
What kind of hand do you want him to have?
Just a regular hand.
Do you want a hook?
No, he's had a hook.
Fingers? But what would you do with that?
Well,
talk to some fish.
No,
what would you do?
The fish is a fish talking.
No, the thing with Aquaman is you just need to have him like being with the people there, his cast, because he has a great cast of people.
Underwater.
Yeah. What's the difference?
He has no cast above water.
So sure, he can just stay underwater.
Yeah, jail.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What if,
real people?
The people are real underwater.
What if they just combined everything with Aquaman? So you had one water hand, one hook hand, and an octopus face.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. That's maybe where they went wrong. With the
what
character.
I think would be great is if they rebooted the entire DC universe.
Wow.
Yeah, I think like there's stuff that I like that's being done right now.
No.
But as a whole, it feels like. I was thinking about this a little bit the other day, that everybody says, oh, you know, DC is all about the crises and whatnot, and they said that they're not really going to do that anymore. But wouldn't it be great if they just took the entire universe and actually completely wiped the slate clean and completely started from fresh? Sort of...
Well, they kind
of
are, with Batman and Superman.
Completely start from fresh, like an ultimate DC universe, but get rid of everything. Because I feel like a lot of right now, there's some good stories... But mostly, it's just harking back to Silver Age stuff.
Well, they just need to stop writing backwards. Stop writing so continuity folks, and just start writing fresh. Because you can't. What are you going to change about Superman?
Just make it a clean, pure Superman.
Or you better integrate the Milestone stuff that they just acquired, or
right.
the Red Circle stuff that they just acquired. Or, you know, all these other characters, like, for example, DC bought Midway Games, so are you going to bring in those characters? Are you going to, from, like, Mortal Kombat?
They have plenty of characters that everyone likes.
Charlton, are you going to integrate it in a way that is holistic, like the Marvel Universe?
But they have plenty of characters that everyone likes now, they just don't use them well. I mean, I don't think they need new characters, they need to stop going and getting... Every character is like, oh, back when I was the Batman of Zur-En-Arr, it's like... Who knows that?
I was talking to a guy the other day who was asking me, oh, so what's going on with Batman right now? I was just playing Arkham Asylum, and I really want to actually pick up some Batman comics. And he was like, so tell me about what's going on. What's Batman doing? I was like, well...
Sit down for
a moment. Okay, so Bruce Wayne's kind of dead, but he's not really dead. He's back in time in a cave. They're like, oh, okay, so who's Batman? I was like, well, it's Robin. They're like, well, who's Robin? And he's like, well, it's...
Crazy son that was raised by his ultimate villain, who you may not even know, Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, and they were like, okay, I'm not going to pick up any Batman comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would you reboot?
I'm just frustrated with where Runaways is right now, so I feel like they could do a better job with that, so I'd like to reboot it and make it good again.
So we're talking about new boots for these characters?
Yes. Raise your hand and ask that piece can bring you a present, and let's get there.
Oh, wait, we never... Did you...
Yeah, no, I actually remembered. I was having a conversation in my studio the other day with someone, and I was like, we're totally psyched about this. The New Mutants. I've rebooted.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I would reboot it like Harry Potter.
Oh, nice.
Like, a kid comes to the school, brand new kind of thing, doesn't know who all the other kids are, there's all this crazy stuff going on, there's a headmaster who's kind of mysterious and manipulating things, and there's some dark enemy out there who's threatening the school.
Like,
that's pretty much. Like Magneto, and you've got Professor X, and you've got the other teachers. It's all the same scenario. It's just how do you pair down...
Magneto's Voldemort.
Yeah, Magneto's Voldemort, you got Professor X's Dumbledore, you got all the...
Who's McGonagall?
Emma Frost. I don't know. But it was just like,
Wolverine or
Beast. Yeah, like, I don't know. Beast.
Okay, good.
What about the Whomping Tree? Like, where's the Whomping Tree? Where's the Whomping Tree?
Do you have this worked out?
But it's funny, we started thinking about it and we're like, wait a minute. It is. I wonder if J.K. Rowling read the X-Men because it was like, what? Look, you've got all the characters and all the stuff. It's like,
yeah,
it's kind of weird.
Now, I heard she found that book on a homeless man.
She killed him and then took it.
And now she's the wealthiest person in the world.
I hear she still has that homeless man's head.
She kisses his lips every day. It's weird.
Crazy.
It's true, though.
Totally true. Totally true.
Weird but true.
Let's get the next question.
Don't you get a bag for answering that?
They already.
No,
thank you.
Wow. Many of the audience members left.
We've been done with the show for 3 hours.
That calendar thing went on way too long.
Went on into the next month.
Hey, what month?
Sorry.
Nice. Name something you can do in comics that you can't do in movies.
Nice. Interesting. Very interesting.
You can't flip the pages.
Nice, good. That's one answer. You can.
What do you guys
think
as comic book creators?
You can't lick them and get ink on your tongue.
I can't draw a movie.
I used to think that drawing comics, you could just like making a movie with no budget. Now they get movies so good. I don't know. Maybe now you can do subtle things that are really like quiet and interpersonal.
Well, I think that
because you have the budget, not you can go the other way.
Yeah.
With a comic, you better control the reader's reading rhythm. Mm-hmm. So you know you have a better deliberate pacing of when the information is revealed.
Not mine. I read it my
and face. Also comics are more comics are more participatory, whereas movies are much more spectatorship. There's much more interaction with a comic than there is with a movie.
I just like the comics better because there's a lot less things to pull you out of the comic. You know what I mean? That you don't have to worry about somebody's acting or the graphics or effects and editing and stuff like that. It's a lot of your imagination you're bringing, and so it's just more you in the comic. More enjoyable.
More you, the reader?
Yep.
There's more Pete LePage.
In every
more you.
Inspector LePage.
Good point.
Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you a present. Let's get one last question.
What would your cowboy name be?
Wow.
Oh.
Great. We get that question so often.
I don't know.
Do you have one?
How do you get your cowboy name? You take your first pet at the street you live
on. The street you lived on.
No, you take. Well,
yeah. That's your Star Wars name.
That's your porn name.
How
do we know this? Why are we there?
How do you come up with your porn Star Wars name?
Wow, great. A Sizzlin' Bronco is my
cowboy. JT Sizzle.
Don't encourage it.
JT Sizzle is my rap name. But.
JT McSizzle.
Huh? No.
That'd be your cowboy name.
I don't think so. I'm not the chef. I'm a real cowboy in this cowboy drama.
Yahoo JT McSizzle.
Yeah. Mumbles. Mumbles the cave.
I think mine would be like Duke McShane.
Cool. quite
that's
big.
That's not cowboy. Yeah,
that's
like it's the Duke and Shane with Mick in it. So it's Duke McShane.
I'm glad you spelled it out for
me. Yeah. Since you're culturally illiterate, I wanted to say that.
You ever watch Shane? It's kind of a bummer.
Well, that's why I have Duke. Like,
oh, cool. Oh, so you set the bar and then you're like, Shane, whatever.
That would be a Baron von Zalbin.
That's not a cowboy, I don't think.
Well, it's what I'd like to aspire to, a barony.
So your cowboy name is someone in England who's like an evil count. You're like, kill all the cowboys!
Tell me what's going on in Silver Lake.
Yeah. Silver Lake. You should watch a western.
Tell me what's going on in New York City. Also, this is my English accent.
And your accent work has gone down.
Thank you.
Steve, you have
I have no idea. Six guns, right?
Six guns?
My favorite band was called, the favorite band name was...
NSYNC?
Yes.
That's your favorite
band.
Buck Satan. Favorite band.
Buck
okay,
Satan.
I mean, it's
Buck Satan.
Oh, yes.
Definitely Buck Satan.
Bucky?
Buck Satan.
Wow.
There's a band by called Buck Satan and the 666 Shooters, and I just thought it was the coolest name.
You would have been killed.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Peace can bring your present. That's it for audience questions. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Woo! Awesome. First thing we're going to talk about, last night, after a very long time, finally, Heroes is back on the air.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, actual groans.
Next topic. Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard, the guy who played the young Cyclops in X-Men Origins Wolverine tweeted last week. He said, okay, working on a movie in Australia, next up, X-Men First Class. This week, the producers were like, that's not true at all.
Children are so precocious.
Yes.
With their
and specifically what they said was they're more looking to do two movies before X-Men First Class, which are X-Men 4, and New Mutants. So the question is, what do you guys think about that? What are you looking forward to? What would you want to see in an X-Men 4, if anything? What would you want to see in a New Mutants movie?
Firestar?
She's a mutant.
Yeah.
She's the most distant mutant from the X-Men that you'll find. You have a real New Warriors kick going.
Well, also, she was a member of the Hellions.
Yeah.
Which is the evil Emma Frost team that she could raise. Emma Frost could raise a team to fight either the New Mutants or the X-Men in X-Men 4.
I'm glad you're not
Firestar.
I just want to see a more an extended scene from Wolverine, the X-Men Origins Wolverine, that last scene where Professor Xavier's like photoshopped.
What they should do is he gets this new power where his face kind of floats up.
Yeah, just off his head, and we can see the bedazzled Emma Frost.
I mean, I think we all agree that if they're going to make a New Mutants movie, they have to build it around Cypher, right?
Certainly.
As the most visually dynamic character.
What's interesting, if they had done a movie about Cypher, what would be interesting is that Cypher's like, oh, well, everyone else has these really crazy powers, and here I can translate any language. And so it's him trying to find his place amongst people who, like, shoot magma or bow and arrow crazy dream illusion things like Mirage does or Sunspot. You got a guy who's like, my power's not that great. How can I be a
terrible.
It works.
We could,
it's a great
Alex, we could shoot a Cypher movie if you want.
Yeah.
It's real easy. I have this cool program on my computer that actually translates languages also. It's sort of the same thing.
He's like a human Rosetta Stone. It's awesome. Or,
yeah.
That's great.
That's,
that's
awesome.
Movie.
That's a great power.
I just thought my iPhone
would
do the same thing.
Yeah.
After X-Men Last Stand and X-Men Origins, do you even want to see an X-Men 4?
Yes.
No.
No.
I would only remake.
Only think because like I think that whole thing with Phoenix was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
That like it'd be great.
Whoa.
I think they should just focus on not sucking on the next movie. I don't care what
it's very hard to focus on something in the next.
It was such a letdown, I guess the whole, in the comics, the Phoenix is this, universe shattering character. Like, it would have been, probably.
You didn't like the fact that she almost burned a garbage pile?
It
was nuts.
That was pretty exciting. I think, I was waiting for this scene where, they're fighting Phoenix and everything's all, oh, no, we're fighting Phoenix. And then the alien ships enter the atmosphere and go, give us the Phoenix or we'll blow up the Earth.
Yeah.
Something to really up that ante.
Totally.
Because it felt like it was just kind of like...
Well, it might help if Fox didn't just hate the X-Men movies. I mean, that's one thing. I don't know if you guys have read about that, but Fox, not Megan Fox, but... The Fox. I know you're all.
Whenever you say Fox, I immediately.
I thought you meant Fox is the animal. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't know. I don't know
when
they've seen them, but.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to see X-Men 3, and this Fox was like.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
They're tricky, though. You can't always trust them.
Yeah, I held these grapes over, and he was like.
He was like, go, the Fox I said, go see Away We Go, and I hated him. And then he ran away.
Well, that's.
I think he
that's sour grapes.
Oh.
I mean, it's not low.
Glad we put that mic in there,
Bootman. Yeah.
I am too.
But why does Fox hate you?
Fox hates the X-Men.
Oh, my point!
Right.
what are you talking about? Why would you say such a thing?
We were joking about this Fox, so I understand you're confused.
You're doing something much more important.
No, I don't know why, but apparently Tom Rothman, the head of Fox, just hates the X-Men movies and thinks they're stupid and doesn't like them at all and wants to just keeps trying to kill the franchise and it keeps making more and more money each time. So they can't do anything about it.
He's crazy though, right? Why is he
they have the movies in perpetuity.
Give it back to
him. Yeah.
So I'm actively developing something they have the movies in perpetuity.
Yeah.
See, that's exactly like the movie Major League, but they just made that so they could...
What they gotta do is, they gotta get a just thing of Tom Rothman in a bikini and cover it. Every time they have
rip
a movie, they gotta cover it.
I'm showing.
Well, Phoenix showed up in Major League 4.
Did you know that they're already writing an 8 Bring It On movie?
One just came out on DVD.
They're writing the 8th one now.
Yeah, Bring It On. Because 8 Days of Future Past.
Really gonna.
Excuse me, Days of Future Cheer.
Why haven't they done a Christmas Cheer movie yet?
Cheers of Future Past.
All right, we're going to move on. Last but not least, for Week of Geek, there was a big lawsuit that was started today where the Kirby estate is suing Marvel. They're suing Marvel for possession of every character that Kirby created. What do you guys think about this? There's a lot of stuff going on at the same time. Hello.
It's actually not a lawsuit.
Oh, it's not?
It's a legal. It's a series of legal notices saying we'd like to reclaim our trademarks.
Well, I don't know what that means.
So it's a lawsuit.
It's definitely a lawsuit. They have Perry Mason on the case. Inspector LePage is getting...
Yeah!
It's tracking down some clues.
Just
as
one more
Marvel
question.
As get that ugly guy from the old Perry Mason TV show to represent them, they're fine.
Yeah. Ironsides, Jake and the Fat Man are working on it.
Sam Watson on
the... Stop with the Jake and the Fat Man reference.
Every show, I'm going to squeeze one in every show.
Jake and the Fat Man.
What do you guys think about this? Does the Kirby estate, though, do they deserve possession of the characters?
I feel like this is on the heels of the Seagull decision, so they're like, well, you know what? I'm super working
at my... Seagull.
Yeah.
And Seagull got possession of Superman.
Yeah, and the Fox was like, well, I'll get you. And all that stuff.
It's his 4 grandchildren, I think?
Okay.
Is that correct? Anybody?
Sure.
Great.
Confirmed.
So his 4 grandchildren would get possession of the characters. One interesting part of it that people were talking about today is he also included Spider-Man in there because Kirby and Stan Lee initially talked about the idea of Spider-Man perhaps before it moved over to Stan Lee and somebody else.
Steve Ditko.
Thank you. Wow, I totally believe in that.
Well,
I actually heard that
Jack Kirby
designs by him.
Right.
Yeah.
He did the cover, right?
He did the cover. And his original designs were for, the Silver Spider, which was abandoned and became, parts of it were added into the Spider-Man mythos.
Yeah.
So it's arguable how much...
I mean, that's tricky. How would that work?
Well,
I think they just want some money.
I mean, it's Kirby, right?
Yeah.
So he's going to swallow them and absorb their powers.
Ah.
Was that a video game reference?
There you go.
Yes, it was.
It's sort of a sad video game.
And that's it for the Week in Geek! Guys, we're going to move on to the next section, which is trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
Yeah.
You in the fancy tie. Come on down. What's your name?
Zach.
Zach, audience? Audience Zach.
I am Zach.
Hey, Zach.
Don't screw up.
All right. So this gift card.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
So today's trivia is on Winter Guard. And if you were listening at all in the beginning of the show, you'll probably get most of these.
Or if you were sleeping, you'll probably also
get. He's new. He might not know yet.
I like we know everyone in the audience.
So how this is going to work, you're listening to each question and listen to all three possible answers. Choose the correct one, go 3 for 3, gift card yours. Okay. Thank you, Luther. Winter Guard is a team of blank superheroes. Is it A, Canadian, B, Russian, or C, craptastic? So it's either... Yes, it is! Correct! B is correct.
If I don't like Crimson Dynamo so much, though.
Well, then, okay. You're right over here, though. Take it easy. Okay. Which Winter Guard is named after a constellation? Is it A, Dark Star, B, Ursa Major, or C, the Big Dipper? Or is it B, Ursa Major?
Correct! That was a trick question, Pete.
Yeah, even Ursula. Said the Dark Star.
Ursa Major is when Ursa Major dresses up.
Yes! I like your mind more than that. Dressing up like a lady!
The whole Silovich. Do you guys mind?
Sorry. Continue.
Which member of Winter Guard is Russia's answer to Captain America? Is it A, the Red Guardian, B, Crimson Dynamo, or is it C, Time Loop Jones? I'm really pissed off that Captain America is still in the Time Loop. So it is either A, which is the correct one, or it is B. A is correct! $25, sir.
Right.
Wait,
Pete,
did he get all three? I wasn't paying attention. Did he get all three of them right?
Yes, he did. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show, or Bergen Street Comics.
You're an asshole. No, we're not sponsored by Bergen Street Comics. We're sponsored by Midtown Comics because they have a nice policy where if you spend $100, you get 20 back. It can take you 5 years.
If you don't know, Pete doesn't like Bergen Street Comics because it's too clean.
No, it's too hoity-toity.
What?
That's right, I said it. You walk in there and you gotta have a pipe and a jacket. Mom, I love the wood. Mom, I'm here for the comic books. Fuck you, I want my comic books. I don't need the fucking
Oh my god, they're just trying to provide a nice clean space.
Alright, great.
You had to bring it up, so.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Old Man Logan, the conclusion. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Yep,
can't miss it. It's the one with Goatsy on the cover.
He finally popped those fucking clocks. It's really exciting. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Wednesday Comics 12. That's been really fun.
Yep.
Sad to see it go. That's good.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Dark Reign, The List, X-Men is coming out. If you are a fan of John Byrne's run on Alpha Flight, like I am, there is a moment in this issue that ripped my heart out and killed me. I wanted to kill Matt Fraction in the best way.
Oh.
Because I used to like
that. I know what that scene is, actually.
There you go. It's pretty awful.
Don't say it.
I have to read it to find out.
It was sad.
Yeah.
And also harken back.
Yeah.
Looking at this, I'm really excited about Timothy and the transgalactic towel.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
I thought that was.
Oh, you made that up. You made
funny.
That up.
No, it's actually on here. Honestly.
No, they're.
Yeah, I mean, you should be honest with
it. It's, no,
no,
I'm not.
Fine. You know what?
I don't know what it is. I just thought the name was
funny.
Yeah. What?
No.
I thought the name was funny. Okay.
Sweat and tears.
I believe Avengers the Initiative comes out this week.
Yep.
And that's awesome because that's my favorite title.
Wait, really?
In addition to Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy comes out tomorrow as well.
Guardians of the Galaxy comes out.
So, yeah, so those are my...
I've been liking that as well, but it's so outside of anything else that's sort of going on in the Marvel.
I actually enjoy it because I think it's a sort of a snapshot of where the Marvel Universe is right now.
Interesting.
And plug your stuff, guys. Remind people about High Moon.
High Moon comes out next a week from Wednesday at the comic book store and... local bookstores, and the new season of High Moon starts Saturday, October 3rd.
That's, of course, featuring Inspector LePage and Sub Butler.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Box 13.
Box 13.
October 13th.
And Winter Guard in December.
In December.
So pre-order it now. It's in previews.
I have to get back to
you. You guys are quite a team.
Sure. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub, so please do that. Next week, we are going to have a show spotlighting the Picard project that is currently being dangling online with Harvey Pekar's new work. And we're going to have a phone call from Harvey Pekar.
I thought it was the Picard project.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that'd be awesome. Well,
imagine make
Harvey
it so.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody! Guys, come on, we want to thank you before we go. We want to thank Steve and Dan for being here. We want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
That door in the hood will happen. That would be brilliant.